Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dudes behind the foods. Yo, it's the dudes behind the foods. Dudes behind the foods. Yeah, it's the dudes behind the foods.
That's actually really fucking good.
So here's the thing about shallow vaginas, guys. Welcome back to Dudes Behind the Foods. I'm Tim John Tharoxy.
And I'm Average Penis David.
Welcome back to the best podcast in the whole wide world, where you get to listen to us talk about stuff and you get to hear us smack in your ear while we eat delicious food.
Well, Tim, we're out here working out in the field and we have a delicious Mediterranean food.
Oh, tell us what you got, David. We got some... what are we working with here? I see we got some kebabs.
Yep, we got a little bit of this thing we call, they call it chicken. Nice and grilled, marinated in yogurt and different spices.
Very weird, I like it.
Mm-hmm. Nice little pilaf and a Greek salad to go with that, and some salad dressing, everybody.
Huh, well, I guess that makes sense why those Greeks always look so good, huh? Because this food is well dressed.
That ends this episode of Dudes Behind the Foods.
That was a reach for sure. I was like in my head like, okay, pun.
I don't know how you're going to do this one, dude. I don't know how you're going to do this. I love this place. If you guys haven't been to this spot, there's a few spots I really enjoyed. This place called Mini Kebab out in Glendale, and also this other one that I have today, which is Lemon Zest. Lemon Zest, delicioso.
You know what's weird? So I watch a lot of Flight of the Conchords, right? And those guys are from New Zealand, mm-hmm. And they say kebab.
Well, they're also idiots. How about that, huh?
Those cute little Kiwis out there.
Oh, this rice is so fluffy and delicious.
These are both the same thing?
Yours might be beef or lamb. I'm not sure yet.
I think this is lamb, just by judging how it's looking here. But I like it a lamb. Mm. You know what? And Mediterranean food just always feels so much healthier, you know?
It actually is protein. Veggies, mm-hmm. Good carbs like rice.
Mm-hmm.
How delicious.
Very delicious. And I mean, like, if you want to look like a Greek god, it makes sense to eat Greek food.
Dude, I finally, listen, 4 months ago I started, you know, losing some weight. Started at 227 pounds. Your boy's 211 today.
Damn, how many pounds is that?
16 pounds.
Holy shit, man. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, man. It's been a rough-ass process.
But you look good. I can already see it in your face and your tits.
Thank you. You know what's fucked up? So I saw my brother And then he saw me without my shirt. I woke up in the morning.
Yeah.
And then he was like, dude, you lost some weight. I was like, thanks, man. He goes, but not in those tits. I was like, yo. But so unnecessary.
Hey, man. The titty weight is a difficult thing sometimes, you know?
Well, this is the thing. When I was first losing weight, this time around, I was like, oh, can I target weight loss in a very specific area?
Mm.
Apparently, it doesn't work that way.
Mm.
Your body loses weight the way it wants to lose weight. Like, you can't, just because you do more sit-ups, you're not going to lose more belly fat.
Mm.
It's just, your body will lose weight. If you lose weight in your lower end, it'll lose there. So me, it's face and legs. The midsection is the last to go.
Is that also the rate or the order in which you gain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Same
my
here.
Face first thing. It fucking blows the fuck up.
Yeah, my face, even like after a couple days of, let's say I'm eating a lot of salty fried foods or some shit like that, you see it in my face, puffs up. And also, if I'm really kind of just going in for the week, I feel it in my fucking love handles, my longhas, and my chichis también. I told you, I just feel like my little man titties are a little flabbier. My nipples get puffier, like I said prior to this episode. And it's heavy on the love handles.
You know what sucks is when, it doesn't suck, but it makes me always laugh.
Mm.
When I always see somebody from back in the day who was like super fit, I haven't seen them in years, and they get hella fat.
Mm.
That shit makes me feel so good.
You love it.
I'm like, look at you, you fat, disgusting fuck. Everyone used to call me fat, you idiot. I hate you.
Look, I'm not going to lie, bro. I think, you know, being in the entertainment industry and being a part of just like, you know, because we kind of have to keep up our social media as a part of what we do.
Yeah.
Keeps us not only a little more fit and also a little trendy, you feel me?
Oh.
Porque I got homies, and I'm talking about, you know, we've been out of high school for a minute now, all right? Even like years ago, before Vader was born, I will see, and we've probably talked about this before, but I will see pictures of people I went to high school with, and I'm like, y'all look terrible.
Oh, the word is trash. So I do this thing with Khalif where I'll send him random photos of people from high school, and I go, guess their age. Dog, so this is one dude I know. Really cool dude.
Do you have any hummus?
Huh?
You have hummus? Hummus?
I think the hummus is over there.
Oh, okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm just wondering.
Sorito.
That's okay.
And saw this dude. Guy was in football. Mm-hmm. Super fucking fit. Jacked out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Saw him. Legit looks like he just got out of prison. Only ate honey buns his whole life. Lost all his fucking hair. Teeth all fucked up. Yee. And I'm like, bro. And then, you know, the selfies that he takes.
Old man selfies from the bottom. Yes.
I don't. Hey, somebody, people who do that, can you explain to me like the mental process behind that?
Bruh, I don't get it. Like, there's literally people my age. Like, we went to class together that take selfies like they are 60-year-old Facebook aunties.
And you were
like, how are you on?
Show me your back arms. I want to see how flabby they are.
Like, I don't understand how we're on the same app. We're looking at the same pictures. So obviously, you know this shit doesn't look right.
Yes. And then too, same people, they'll do the videos, the life advice videos, same angle. Hey, man, when you out here and you trying to grind, make sure you keep your head up and, you know, one love. And they just end the video. I'm like, you're not 80 years old. You're not. We're the same age. You were pretty cool in high school, right? You watch TV, don't you? You're on the internet. What the fuck is with the clothes? The fuck is with the hair? The fuck is with the words?
The fuck is with the life?
The fuck is with the lighting?
They've really just, you know, I don't know. I talk to Rick all the time. I'm like, Are we the ones that, like, are we just trying too hard to be young? Like, are we the ones that are out of place with this shit? Are we supposed to be looking old like these motherfuckers? Or, like, what happened here? You know?
Listen, I'm definitely not trying to be young. I'll be fucking gardening and shit now. I got tomato plants, all this other shit. And a majority of the time, I dress like trash just because I'm always walking. I'm always outside.
Yeah.
I'm doing kickboxing, whatever. There's no point.
Yeah.
But when push comes to shove or it's time to go out, your boy knows what to do. You know? It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Got a clothing brand, doing all sort of shit. But majority of the times, I'm looking like them. But I'm definitely not posting a picture. You know what I mean?
Right.
I understand the reason why I'm like this. Is because I'm sweaty, you know?
Really? And it all kind of comes down to, find your light and find your angle. Like, you got, I'm a, look, here's some advice for not only people on social media, but also people beginning to create content, okay?
That was a double entendre.
If there was a light behind you, don't put the camera on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Find the light. Go where the light is on your face. The video will automatically look better, okay? Mm-hmm.
And if you're keep taking photos like that, go die and follow the light. Do that, you motherfuckers.
Go into the light. Speaking of tomato plants, there was this Naked and Afraid recently. It was the XL season. And I don't know if we talked about this in a past episode. Who cares at this point? We just look. We got Alzheimer's and shit. I used to think it was old timers.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, when I was a kid. Because they'd all be like, yeah, my grandpa has old timers. That's why he forgets everything.
It's okay. I didn't know what the term cremated was. So mm-hmm. I thought it was just that you could just roast people.
Wow.
I would just be like, oh, are you getting roasted? And I found out about JK News.
Really?
Yeah.
Like as a grown man.
As a grown man. They're like, cremated? I'm like, why is it cremated? It's not creamy. I'm like, I don't understand that. What are you talking about?
The cream made it.
I thought they were fucking with me.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, no, my mom wants to get roasted. And they're like, roasted? What is she, a fucking chicken bitch?
That's so funny.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Like, I'm taking my mom in for, in my mom's will, she's getting rotisseried. Yeah. Kenny Rogers roasters.
Sorry.
Now, so on this Naked and Afraid, this dude, it was the XL challenge. So they were trying to stay for like 40 days at least, right? And this guy got there and he had eaten a bunch of tomatoes before the season, before he went. Did we talk about this already? Man, who cares?
No.
So he got there and he had all these tomato seeds in his shit. So he was shitted in this plot of land.
Genius.
So that he could potentially grow like a little garden of tomatoes while he was there.
Tomatoes take a very long time.
Yes. Unfortunately, the tomatoes never actually, like, they never grew out like he wanted them to. But it was
for 3 months, idiot.
Great plan, though. Kind of.
You fucking jackass. Just said that. Also, they require a lot of water.
Do they?
A lot of fucking water. And they're also very, very sensitive, easy to blight.
Mm-hmm. What is blight?
Blight is basically fucking, like, you'll get, like, white mildew and stuff like that. And the, you know, leaves will brown and shit. Mm. It's just terrible. Like, tomatoes are actually very, very hard to grow.
Hmm.
Have you seen the show, though, called Alone?
Yeah, where it's Naked and Afraid, but they have clothes on.
Dude, Alone has me dying laughing.
Why?
Because I like watching people suffer. So, but the thing about it is, too, Naked and Afraid, you only get, like, one or two things, and you're butt-ass naked.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing, you get a whole slew of everything. Mm. So they give you a set amount of stuff, and they get to bring 10 things. So they'll have tarp, they'll have stuff to make tents, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, fishing nets, knives, flints.
So it's an easy show.
You would think, right? But the objective of the show isn't that there's a set time. Mm-hmm. It's you do it until everybody's out. And if you're the last one standing, you get, like, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be out there for fucking, like, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's 5 months, and there's no crew recording you. It's you and you're recording yourself.
Oh, shit.
So you literally have zero contact with humans, and then you start to see their mind start to break down.
I see.
In the first episode, I didn't realize this. So you get to literally see people lose their fucking mind.
Like, you see their just mental deteriorating?
Yeah. Wow. So, because they're just talking to a camera for months.
Right.
And there's a certain point where this guy, of course, is a white dude with dreads. And it's out of nowhere. He's just sitting by himself and he goes, reggaeton! Just, and I'm like, yo, why is he doing this?
What?
He just goes, reggaeton! And then dead silence after. And then a week or a few pass, he just starts making up reggae music because he's singing to himself because he's losing his mind.
Of course it's a fucking white Rastafarian who just has reggaeton playing in his head.
And you could tell the editors are really funny because there's this one scene where a guy is sitting there crying and then he just farts. And they leave it in the edit.
Wow. Well, okay, I'm intrigued. So speaking of not black Rastafarians, one time I was in a club in the Bay, dog, and I met this girl was either white or some type of spicy white, I don't know, Italian, possibly Greek, whatever.
Spicy white.
Yeah. She was white with dark hair, right? Yeah. So, and she has locks, her hair's locked up, right? And then I meet her, I'm like, hey, Tim, how you doing? Nice to meet you. She goes, let's say her name was like, I don't know, Marianne or some shit. She's like, Marianne, real rude gal, Rastafari or some shit. And I was like, what? She says it because we're in a club, right? She says it again, Marianne, real rude gal, Rastafari. I was like, okay. It's like, I didn't know. I was like, why are you giving me your fucking superhero introduction? You know
what's up,
fuck? I was like, okay, I see that you have locks. Cool. Great.
Me work at the Chipotle around the corner.
I was like, you didn't have to. I didn't need all that, bro.
She really wants you to fucking know. Yeah. Was she kind of hot?
I mean, she wasn't not hot, but I think I was, even if she was hot, I think I would have been just so turned off by that intro. You know what I'm saying? I was like,
hey, let me tell you something. If you turn off Tim, you're pretty. This man would get turned on by everything.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because anything that you've ran by me in terms of like what I smash and I has all been physical attributes, and I can appreciate all that shit. Mm-hmm. A lot of different diverse types of bodies and people and scenarios. But like, if we talking about mentally turned off, it's a lot of shit that'll turn me off quick. You feel me?
Hey, good topic though.
Yes, very good topic.
What are some mental turnoffs that you have from the people that you would find or not find attractive? Okay. That's fucking important.
Let's talk about it. Mental turnoffs. Personality, red flag, traits that make your penis go...
Fart. Make your penis fart.
Make your penis just puff out a little bit of...
He's on a date. Girl's hot as fuck. She says something stupid. You just hear... It's a penis fart.
You just hear... She's like, man, I'm so photogenic.
So like, can I tell you something? Trump is my favorite president. Yo, if any girl has been on a date with Tim, you heard that noise. It wasn't the window closing or being cleaned. It was him being turned off by you.
Yeah, it wasn't me trying to squeak out a fart. It was my dick letting you know he hates you.
That'd be the fucking funniest sketch ever, dude.
It's like the erection going soft so fast that it lets out a tiny bit of air. Just...
Babe, can you take out the trash?
Oh my god, that's so dumb.
That's so stupid to me.
Oh god. Okay, I'll tell you the first one that comes to mind, even though I've told this story on No Chaser a bunch of times.
Yeah.
There was a girl who I wasn't really dating. I was just trying to like just hang out with, hook up with, whatever. We all went to go eat. Rick was there too. For some reason, I forget the scenario of why Rick was there with us, but we're all eating, right? She's looking in her phone. She's in her phone looking at pictures of herself, and she goes, oh, I'm so photogenic. And I wanted to leave. We were at BJ's eating, and I wanted to fucking throw my pazookie at her face. I was like...
Let me tell you something. I throw a pazookie, that means I'm really turned off.
Yeah, seriously.
If it's not in my mouth, I throw it at your face. Jesus Christ.
Dog, I was so just, like, disgusted by her saying that shit. I understand gassing yourself up, being confident in yourself, blah, blah, blah. But, like, we're sitting at a table, and she's, I'm so photogenic. I was like, ew! I was just turned gross.
You gotta
out,
do a see, you gotta do a really long one for that though.
Yeah. We're staring. I'm gazing at her just beauty, looking into her eyes. She's, I'm so photogenic, and I'm.
She made me laugh so hard.
It's gross, man. Oh my god, I'm crying. It's so dumb. But yeah, so that is definitely like, it's like, I know you're attractive. We all know you're attractive. And that's great that you know you're attractive, but that is just unnecessary. Just ugh, yuck.
Stupidity is a thing that fucking gets me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying, like you said, everybody says dumb things here and there, but like when they speak with things with hyperlogical fallacies and they believe it, it bothers me so fucking much.
Okay.
Like, I'll tell you this one thing, and this is not by, this is a, not somebody I was dating or I found attractive, but it was a homegirl, and something really small. And she goes, So I found out why people in Florida are super fucking crazy. Mm. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? And she goes, well, I have a friend who just moved there. And what he told me, and he goes, it has to be true, is that everybody in Florida does a lot of drugs.
Okay.
And so because they do a lot of drugs, they flush it down the toilet. So the water makes them go crazy.
What?
And I stopped and I looked at her and I went, do you just believe everything that you hear? And she goes, what? That can make sense. And I'm like, if they're using the drugs, why are they throwing it down the toilet? And second of all, you don't think that LA has a lot of drug addicts out here? We seem to be fine out here, right? What the fuck are you talking about right now?
Some of the smallest cities probably, I would say, do the most drugs too because they're fucking bored.
Oh, Chico. If anybody who goes to Chico State, you guys already know, before fucking cocaine started becoming popping again, they've been doing that shit. So many drugs. So I'm like, what? And you know, just to hear somebody say that and look at me without laughing bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot be this dumb. Mine doesn't even sound like that. It's just
yours is just Korean frustration.
Why? Why you do this to me?
Oh man. I love this topic and we're gonna talk more about it right after this break. Break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Tim.
And David.
And if you want to listen to Dudes Behind the Foods without ads, now you can.
Just go to dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too.
That's dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com. Thanks. Oh, so today we got some fancy ass soju, baby, Korean alcohol, but it's from this company called Wyo.
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 Wyo. Wyo. Wyo. Wyo. Wyo.
Reggaeton.
Marianne Rio Rastafari rude gal.
She sang it to you when she said it to
I'm from the bay.
Excuse me? What was that?
I am spicy white.
You have a balloon in your pocket?
Is that a balloon in your pocket or you just turned off to see me?
Let me pour some of these
yes,
for
yes,
you.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Korean reggaeton.
Annyeong! Annyeonghaseyo!
Alubada boil!
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, here we go. Oh yeah.
Mm. Cheers. Sorry, cheers. I took a sip before cheersing you.
Oh, no, no.
Cheers, my guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, I like soju. Soju always just feels and tastes so clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a little fancier, so it's a little sweet. It's a little smoother.
Mm-hmm.
You could sip on this all day.
Like, vodka is like so gross. But this shit right here, like, reminds me of vodka, but without just the ugh of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you something, too. I loved and I also hated kicking with Korean people because they just make you drink so much.
Yeah.
It's the way that we connect. It's the way that we do business. Everything is through fucking drinks. And I could kind of drink, but I can't. I'm not crazy. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, you see me drink. We drink. Mm-hmm. But I'm not throwing down like you. You know, you fucking maniac. But every time something we would drink, I wouldn't know where the fuck I was the next day. Mm-hmm. I would be smashed. We would be drinking till like 6 or 7 a.m. in the morning. Because probably before pandemic or when the spicy whites
right.
were moving into K-Town.
Yeah. Go to a little domey, you know what I'm saying? Take a little girl home from the karaoke spot.
And teach her about the Lord. So we would go out to these spots, and these spots, they're like late night spots, and you would have to know somebody that knows somebody to get in there, but they would be open till like 7 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. But lo and behold, motherfuckers started blogging these spots, and they all got shut down. What the fuck are you doing?
That's against like LA's like rules or what?
Yeah, 2 a.m. or something like that's the last time you could serve alcohol. But they would put it in blogs. They would put it on YouTube videos. And of course, what the fuck is going to happen, dude?
Yeah.
Gone, all of them. I think that some of them did pop back up, but that was like one of the most fun experiences that I had in K-Town was going out at night and waking up and not knowing where the fuck I am. Can't even do it anymore.
The good times.
The good old days,
free
dude.
Of responsibility.
And look at you now. You're a daddy.
I don't even go out at all anymore unless there's a fucking... I tell people all the time when they land in LA, motherfuckers think they can be very spontaneous with me. For one, even before the baby, I'd be like, bruh, you can't just hit me up night of and expect me to be down. Like, I got shit to do, right?
Yeah.
But now I'm like, first of all, are you... It was people landing in LA during the pandemic being like, yo, what's good tonight? I'm like, are you stupid, bro?
No, there's nothing open.
There's nothing open. And plus, even if there is something open, no, thank you.
I know. Bro, I got COVID twice.
Yeah, that's right. Dave is just coming off of his second COVID infection.
Dude, I've never felt so strong in my life right now. I'd be walking around just kissing everybody in the mouth. I don't have it at all.
Yeah, it's out.
Yeah. Oh.
And you have a monkeypox, one on the tip of your dick, just one monkeypox.
Oh, monkeypox is gross, dude.
Yeah, it's so gross.
It's fucking, but I had the smallpox vaccine and I had chickenpox. But I heard like, that's like, hey, don't quote me on this shit. I might have read this very loosely, but that means like you're somewhat okay.
My dad heard the same thing, that if you got that little scab that everyone has on their arm, which I don't, you're like, you might already have some type of protection against monkeypox. But who knows? Asian parents be hearing all types of shit, dog.
That's why I don't trust it.
Oh, exactly. But, okay, turn off. Women's, before we go into multiple subjects, I'm very turned off by a girl that feels the need to constantly post money things. It's kind of a meme now, but the girl that's like in a car and she's in the car pretending like she's singing or something, but then she has to show the logo on the seat, like whether it's a fucking Bugatti or whatever it is. Like, oh, yuck.
Here's the thing. I know what you're talking about. I think this is for guys or girls. I think typically a lot of us or a lot of people just don't like people who overcompensate because it shows that you have a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
Like you always, like, I don't know if you guys have these type of homegirls, like they're very beautiful, they're very whatever. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere in conversation, even if you've known them for fucking years, they'll just always talk about, oh, I'm smarter than these other bitches. Like I'm different. Mm-hmm. It's like, we've been friends for 10 years. I don't know who you're fucking showing off to. Mm-hmm. Like, just relax. But everything is always trying to one up all these imaginary enemies, these other people who are looking down on them, who don't think that they're smart. For what?
The insecurity is loud, you know what I'm saying? And that's what bugs me about it, too. I tell you what else, in terms of fucking bragging and trying to act like it's nothing, ugh, hate it. I hate the girls. You know, obviously, you know, we're in L.A., we're in Hollywood, we're at events with different people. You meet people, you become cool with people, right? I can't stand a fucking subtle name dropper, okay? I'm talking about, I prefer you tell me, oh my God, I was at Chris Brown's house. The party was so fun. I prefer that to motherfuckers that are like this. I knew a girl that was like, so I was at Jamie's house, right, the other night. I'm like, Jamie who? Do I know this guy? Oh, Jamie Foxx. I was like,
bitch, I swear to
ugh!
God.
That's my dick throwing up.
I'm nauseous. Dude, get me out of here. Insecurity.
Yuck. I hate that, dog.
I feel guys do that more than girls, though. Mm. I think guys do that way fucking more. That random, subtle name drop thing. Mm-hmm. It's like in the corporate world where people feel like the need to always abbreviate things. And how the fuck are we supposed to know what this shit means?
Yes.
You know what I mean? When they go, oh, yeah, make sure that you finish up the LSO on the PPC. Like, yo, how the fuck am I supposed to know what the fuck that? And I asked them, what is that? They're like, oh, you don't know? Of course I don't fucking know. Of course. Who the fuck knows what the LSO on the PPP is?
I hate when anybody, and you know what? This goes beyond so many different fucking genres of shit, right? When they say something like you're supposed to know, even if it's like, I went to go see Chicken Skins Marinade the other night, and it's like, what is that? You never heard of the band Chicken Skins Marinade? Like, no, mother, I've never heard of this random band that you've been listening to from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, dog. I do not know. I don't care.
It's like, let me put you onto them. No. I wish they would die, and I wish you would die too.
Because of you. Yeah. This band needs to die now because of your stupid, subtle, I think I know about this shit attitude.
And you know, I'll say this too, like for girls. You know, I do understand for women who are conventionally really, really attractive. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, specifically men, don't expect a lot from you on the intellectual side, right? Mm. Because they're just there for the show, right? So I get it. It makes sense.
They want to show that they're more than that. Mm-hmm.
However, if I've known you for fucking years and you're still doing, cut that shit out. Mm-hmm. We're friends. You know what I mean? We're more than just acquaintances. We fucking, and I've literally had to call like a couple of homegirls out on this shit. I mean, very lightly, not like aggressive or anything. I'm like, hey, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, we're friends. I don't need it. Don't do that. Go do that to them.
Right. You know?
Oh my God. I'm making my money. I don't care. We're having lunch. Yeah,
exactly.
But you know, but that happens too because they're doing it so much to other people. They forget to turn it off when they're with us. So it's like, look, I get it. You know, it's rough out there for a hot chick.
Yeah, and you know what? And thank God, you know, the single days of our lives are over now. Rick used to tell me, and I didn't know I did this, okay? And I feel bad about this. But Rick used to tell me it was very, very obvious when I didn't like hanging out with a girl, okay? And he used to tell me, you know, because during my wild single era, right? Rick used to tell me, yo, after you smash a girl, if she's even like a little bit annoying, you're an asshole. Like, he's like, you are Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with girls post smash, right? Because he's like, you know, of course, pre smash, I'm like, you know, we're all having fun. I'm trying to put forth my best impression, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you hang out and you get the smash. And then, I mean, and I feel bad because I didn't know I was doing this, but it's like I said, I get turned off and annoyed really easily sometimes, right? But when I don't have my smash blinders on, when the smash blinders are off, and now I'm like, I'm seeing this person for everything they're doing, I think. I didn't realize how night and day my shit was. And I do think back now when I was single and like, let's say it's a quick smash and this person is enjoyable, right? Mm-hmm. I do remember being very like, maybe like even cuddly, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And I think back now to the girls that were like, did something that was just, I found annoying or something. And I'd be like, immediately, I'm like, I just get on my laptop. I'd be like, all right, so we're like, all right, cool. What are you about to do? You know what I'm saying? Mm. And like, all right, wait, cool. All right, what you about to do? All right, it was nice you hanging out. And but I was never like a dick on purpose, you know?
You know what's so funny? I didn't know this shit, but like, you'll see a lot of stuff on the internet where they talk about, you know, like black comedians will talk about like black culture shit. Mm. And you don't realize how much you're influenced by just like black culture in general if you grew up around a lot of black people. Mm. And I saw this meme that was circulating around, and it was like, when black folks don't want to kick it with you anymore, they always ask, what you about to get into? And I'm like, oh shit, that's what we do.
I don't know how that happened. It just kind of happens, you know?
Yeah, it just happens. Like, that's the phrase it said. And I'm like, what the fuck? But I like, it's so funny like how we're just like influenced by everything that's around us. Like, we absorb everything.
It's a lot of phrases like that. Like the whole, when, and this is just something I said growing up, because of the black influence, the hip hop influence, where someone gives me props, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm just trying to be like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't realize until I got older, I was like, I guess that's a black thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, dog, I'm just trying to be like you, you know?
Or when you're about to fight somebody, you go, hey, let me talk to you for a second.
Is that a black people thing?
I think I saw a meme that said that. I didn't know that was a black person thing either. but hey, let me talk to you for a second. Because basically what you're going to do, you'll fuck them up.
But also, bro, there's some shit that is labeled as a black people thing.
And it's not.
Like, there was this one, I talked about this in No Chaser, where this guy was like, oh man, like, black people are so good at figuring out slang, even when it's not really slang. But he was using the most broad example, like the most obvious examples. He's like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I was carrying my head. He's like... I'm just making shit up, right? But he's like, you know, so I had a bad hair day, so I was wearing my blip blap, and this dude was talking mess about my blip blap, so I had to show him that I was down to screep, right? But it's like, bro, and all the comments were like, oh man, I know exactly what he's saying, you know, because I'm black, I know exactly what he's saying, but it's like, okay, obviously he's talking about his hair, you know what I'm saying? Like, duh, you know? But
meme culture is crazy, though. I think a lot of people are just trying to they understand that relatability is the way that you get views.
I know.
So sometimes it's a bit of a reach.
Yeah. You know? A lot of shit is a reach. You know, and I can't stand, dog. I get very annoyed by the content that's like 5 types of sleepers. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you this kind of sleeper? Do you sleep? You know, and they'll be like 5 types of sleepers, and it's like, on your stomach, on your side, and it's like just super trying to be relatable and shit.
My favorite type of content, though.
No, don't do it.
10 types of Asians. The small-eyed Asian. The anime Asian. The gangster Asian, and there's a clip of Tim.
I don't know who does that, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but if you do, you should just probably stop doing whatever you're doing.
But that content, dog, is just so, like, I see it on my timeline now, and I'm so just like, ugh. Mm-hmm. It just seems so, you know. And look, I was going to say it's very low-hanging fruit, but, yes, I was on Wild and Out where all the jokes are low-hanging fruit, but, you know, I just hate it.
But it's me. It's not even so much sometimes the content that's bad, it's the delivery, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, I was just talking about this too, where, you know, I do movie reviews and TV shows, and sometimes people write, well, you like fucking white chicks, like, how is that a good movie?
What?
And I'm like, listen, you have to learn how to categorize things appropriately, mm-hmm. right? And when I do movie reviews or I'm stating my opinion about something, remember, it's not right or wrong.
Right.
It's just my opinion.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that I'm saying I'm right. Mm-hmm. This is just a part of the dialogue of a conversation. Mm-hmm. People don't know how to have conversations anymore.
People don't understand that anymore.
Yeah, like, we can agree and disagree, and I could still like you. But that's the fun part. It's like, I get to pick your brain about what you like about something,
right.
And you pick my brain about what I dislike, and then we kind of like, oh, I could see that.
And that's okay.
Yeah, but
that's,
now...
The annoying thing about the internet is that everybody feels like, if you disagree... They have to argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They feel like their way is the only way.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be so many motherfuckers that, like, you know, have these opinions, especially let's talk about something like food or some shit like that, right? I mean, this is Dudes Behind the Foods. Like, people will post the way they prepare a certain kind of food. And yes, granted, some of the whites do some interesting things with mac and cheese, okay? Yes, I will agree with that. But also, there's a lot of different foods that I feel like people comment on when they've never been exposed to it, never tried it, and they feel like because they grew up doing it a certain kind of way, if they see anybody doing anything different, they're like, this is a fucking travesty. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, how do you know? You never tasted it. I remember one time, bro, I forget who it was. She was either a journalist or a somebody with some followers. She had seen some Hainanese chicken. She had seen a picture of Hainanese chicken online. And of course, you know, I can agree. Hainanese chicken, when you just see it, it looks like this shit look plain and bland as fuck, because it's just some boiled chicken and some rice. It looks like, what the fuck is this, right? But she was just saying how it looked like she would never want to eat it, right? And Asian Twitter was on her head, like, the subtle aromas of the fucking broth cooking the rice, girl, you have no idea, and the sauce and blah, blah, blah. They were going crazy. But that's one of those things. It's like, if you ever try that shit, oh, that's one of my favorite things to eat. You know what I'm saying? Because of, like, the way the rice is cooked and, like, the subtleness of the chicken and the sauce. But if you look at it, It looked just like some, it looked like some, you know, it was like someone that can't cook cooked the shit, right?
Let me tell you something. Like, Hainan chicken and rice is one of those dishes that you eat. Like, you know, when you're trying to lose weight, eat that shit and you won't ever have a bad meal.
Right.
Because that chili, the chili sauce, the dark soy sauce, and the ginger garlic scallion sauce, you put any of those three sauces on any type of meat, it's fucking delicious. And so, and that's true too. Like, I understand. Like, when you look at it, it just looks like boiled chicken, right?
Yeah.
But that thing is simmered in a lot of garlic and ginger, so it absorbs that flavor. And it's cooked right, so it's super juicy. The one thing that I disliked about Hainanese chicken that a lot of people do like is the skin.
Oh, but you don't like that?
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, specifically after you, you're basically simmering in the broth and it's done, you take it out. And you actually stick the chicken in cold ice water. Mm. And what it does to the skin, it actually makes it chewier and bouncier, which is what I hate. But that's what people enjoy.
Ooh.
So it's just different, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes too, look, I get it. You see some recipes and it's trash, it is trash. Like, you could just tell off the jump, especially if you cook.
Right.
You already know it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you kind of look at a dish at a culture scale and say that this is bad, even though millions and millions of people like it, you might be a little off there, you know?
You got to try my mom's Hainanese chicken dog, Thai style, the Tainanese chicken dog. I don't think she does the ice water shit, but also I love, you know, one of my favorite things my mom used to make growing up, even when it wasn't the Hainanese chicken. So Thai style Hainanese chicken is called kamangkai, okay?
Kamangkai.
Kamangkai, which is translated literally, it's just shit. Cow, wait, so man, I do believe is fat. So it's just, it's chicken fat rice, is if it's translated. So I don't think she does the ice water shit. When I was a little kid, you know, one of my favorite things my mom would make is just like, she would boil a big ass chicken soup with some onions and some whatever the fuck she threw in there. And I would just eat that with some rice and soy sauce. And that was my shit. You know what I'm saying? And when I got older and I could handle the funky, low-key spiciness of that Hainanese chicken sauce. Ugh. Next level shit, dog.
It's fucking good, man. Like, I think Asian food, I think I'd die without Asian food. 100%.
You would die.
I would literally die?
Well, we're going to talk about your death and your cremation and your cream Asian after this break.
I went to, so I caught COVID, just to go back to this. Mm. Caught it from my lovely friend, Eunice. She was the wardrobe stylist on Gook. Mm-hmm. Amazing girl. Amazing, amazing girl.
But just filled with COVID.
Yeah. This super spreading bitch gave me fucking COVID. I love her, dude. I'll put it to you like this.
Mm.
If I never met Mariel, right?
You sure you want to say this?
And I was a lesbian.
Okay. She's a lesbian?
She's a lesbian.
Okay.
She would be the one for me.
Mm.
If I had a fat vagina and a fat, juicy ass, she would be my lesbian lover.
Okay, I can see that.
It's weird because she's very different from me, but we get along very well, right? So if I was a lesbian, that would be my lesbian bitch right there.
Okay.
But we were hanging out.
Oh, hold on. Let me imagine you as a lesbian really quick.
Sherry Cola. So you don't have to.
Okay, you're right. And got it locked in. Go. All
right.
Okay. Oh, erection's up. And we're good.
What's the erection sound, though?
Hello.
Hello, Ole. I didn't pay my taxes.
I hope she's doing okay with that. I hope she's
going
good.
To jail, Ole, Ole.
Prison.
Oh my god. Just randomly throw that in there.
Prison. But she gave me COVID.
Yeah.
Didn't fucking know. She didn't feel any symptoms, but I already drove to Sacramento, so I was with my parents and I had COVID. But my parents are so fucking funny. And I understand they're like fully vaxxed or whatever, and you know, a lot of cases are going down. Mortality rate is super low now.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my mom I had COVID. I was like, hey, don't come in the room. And she goes, I'm not going to catch it. And then she keeps, I was like, get the fuck out of my room. But she kept trying to bust in my room. And she was getting mad at me because I wouldn't let her in my room.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, well, are you going to come out and eat dinner with us? I'm like, yuck. Yo, you're stressing me the fuck out. Like, please, just get. And so I got the food.
Yeah.
I told her, just put it in the living room away from you guys. And I'm literally eating and I feel the shadow over me.
You're looming over you.
And she goes, you want more? I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Go to the other side. I don't want you to catch this shit.
Yeah.
I know that most likely you're not going to die from it now, but right. It sucks to have it, especially the first round. You're going to be in a lot of pain.
Oh, she hasn't had it yet.
She hasn't had it yet.
Right.
So both my parents haven't.
Mm-hmm.
This lady getting chubby and shit now. So I'm like, you need to relax and back the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept on trying to like, she wanted to, like, give me a kiss goodbye.
She fucking licks your spoon?
Yeah. How about this, huh, you fat boy? Mmm.
So your dad's a pastor, right? Well, guess what? He fucked me last night.
She still keeps it the same. Your dad's fucking your mom.
See? You know what? You know what your dad did last night? He was fucking your mom.
You COVID boy. Oh man! But we were at home. This lady decides to make like two ice chests worth of food that I had to take back.
Mm.
And I'm like, yo, there's only two people living in this house. How the fuck are we going to eat this, man?
Yeah.
And so I'm just scrambling to eat this so it doesn't spoil.
I know. Dog, my mom did the same shit. You know, I love when she brings over food. It's great. It's a blessing. I'm so grateful. But she brought the biggest pot of spaghetti sauce the other day.
Oh, my God.
And I was leaving for New York. I was going to New York for a couple of days to film something. So my mom thinks I'm just going to have so much food for Veda and Chia for them, right? So they don't have to go anywhere. But, like, no one wants to eat spaghetti three meals a day, all day, every day.
Spaghetti is a dinner time thing and maybe a breakfast thing the next day.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I like to do sometimes, dog? Leftover spaghetti, I'll throw the spaghetti and the sauce in a little like frying pan, and then I'll crack an egg into it and like mix the egg with it, and I make a little breakfast spaghetti.
Isn't there like an Armenian dish like shatsuka or a Greek dish?
Shatsuka is it's something like that. It is saucy, and there's no noodles in it, but it's saucy, and they break a couple eggs into it, and
like tomato sake with bread and stuff.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh. Fire,
yeah,
dude.
But this, I kind of scramble the eggs and mix it all in with the noodles and sauce, and I call it breakfast spaghetti, and it's delicious.
Somebody's going to steal it on TikTok.
Probably.
And it's going to go viral, and you're not going to get credit, dude. Sorry, man.
You know, that's just kind of how it goes, man. You know, I've been on the internet for a long, long time, dog. 16 motherfucking years.
Damn, has it been 16 years?
Yeah, my current channel was started in 2006.
Dude, I had a conversation with somebody that's a constituent in this space. Uh-huh. Oh, little sorry ass sap. You know, I'm just talking about, this person was talking about their career and, you know, how many views they used to get back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to put it in perspective for this person. And I was telling them, like, look, you've been on the space for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Most people in entertainment do not get a career that's 13 fucking years long.
Mm-hmm.
And to make the money that you've made, to travel the way that you have,
mm-hmm.
women had sex with you even though you're ugly as hell.
Yeah.
And like, listen, you lived quite a great life.
Yeah.
Right? The idea, 13 years, and you're still doing this. And it's not, obviously, you're not going to get the same views that you did when you started. You know, you got tired, and you didn't really evolve that much either, and that's something that you have to take ownership and responsibility for.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the end of the day, like, people would have killed for your position, and even now, they would kill for your position.
Right.
So, don't sit there and tell me that, you know, life is so hard, blah, 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 blah. You lived a very, very, very great and long career in entertainment.
I put that into perspective for myself all the time because, of course, like I said, it's been 12 fucking years. And even, like, let's take a show like The Wayans Brothers, right, that I loved. I fucking love The Wayans Brothers, one of the funniest shows, I feel. But I don't remember watching the last season consistently, and they only had like, I don't know, 4 or 5 seasons, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, I can't expect these kids, you know, I say when my shit was at its peak around 2010, 2012, 2010 was probably when my shit was like the most popping YouTube views wise, where I knew I could put up a video and it would do like anywhere between like 500 to a mil just right off the bat. You know what I'm saying? I can't expect these kids to still be watching 10 years later. Like, motherfuckers got lives, families, jobs.
I'll tell you this, though. They still do.
It's, and I'm so grateful for the people that still tune in, you know? I'm not even like, when people are like, yo, like the occasional comment that's like, wow, this channel's dead. Like, the podcast is only getting, I don't know, what, like 50,000 views, whatever. I'm like, bro, this is hour-long content. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't believe that people are still watching. That many people are still watching. When I'm like, what I do now is completely different than what I did when my shit was at its peak. You know, when I was doing fucking 3-minute sketches and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's completely different.
Yeah, and like, it's never about like the. Like, you know, we use this for an example, you know, on my other podcast where there was that TikTok girl who had that meet and greet. And people said like, oh, the event people kind of fucked it up. They put her in a different place. So a lot of people couldn't find her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 2 million followers or something on TikTok and nobody showed up,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I get it. Even if the event person showed up, somebody would have found you. But that's the idea of how content was created now versus how we created it back in the day. I really do feel that we were able to connect with fans even though we never got to meet them.
Because
mm-hmm. they got to be a huge part and a huge aspect of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do jokes on, you know, Sam Foods where I'm like, get the fuck up. These are all jokes. Like, you have no idea, like, the amount of gratitude that I have that for people who have been watching me for 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal to me. Like, we grew up with these kids when they were 12,
mm-hmm.
10. And then now they're full grown ass adults. They have businesses.
Yeah, bro.
They're killing. And like, yo, that video that you did, you know, back in the day, it really changed my perspective on something. And I am who I am now because of you.
Mm-hmm.
Blows my mind.
It's crazy, dog. It's
grateful.
Continuously blows my mind. When I was in New York filming, one of these dudes that was on set, he was actually fucking super coincidence. Okay, so I was filming in New York with my Basic to Bougie homie Darren Brand, and also this producer named Murder Beats. And so Murder Beats has produced a lot of music for everybody from Drake to Chloe Bailey, like a lot Ooh. Of people, right? Yeah. So he's, but his. So his photographer that travels with him and I think also like lives with him hit me up. He was like, "Yo, bro, you gonna be on this Murder Beats shoot?" And I was like, "Yeah, it was good." And so this guy took me and Chia's engagement photos in Toronto because I was looking for somebody. I was looking for a photographer in Toronto, and D-Pride, Russell, linked me with this dude. So he also now, so he's like traveling with Murder Beats, and we're on set, and he's talking to me. He's like, "Hey, man, nah, it's crazy, you know? Like, I was watching you when I was a kid, right?" And so someone happens to be walking by, and they're like, no, one of the stylists was like, "Did he just say he's been watching you when he was a kid?" I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "How old are you?"
"I'm 56.
I was like, "Well, don't tell nobody and don't look at my Wikipedia."
That's so funny. But it goes back to that conversation of, you know, us still keeping our youth. And I, you know, I really do believe it's because we enjoy life a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very grateful. Like, our life and our story hasn't ended.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, too, like, I'm always trying new things all the time, right? Even opening up this business. I know it has nothing to do with entertainment and put like the entertainment stuff on pause, but because I get to do stuff outside of entertainment, it keeps me motivated because it's just some new shit.
Yeah.
I just want to do new things, mm-hmm. you know? It doesn't always have to be entertainment, and entertainment will always be there. I could be a 60-year-old actor if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It will always be there, but I really want to do this business thing, and we're always, it keeps us young, keeps us fresh.
You know, I think, you know, like, I mean, as they say, you don't... You're only as old as you feel, you know? And here's the thing, too, is, like, we have to stay looking fresh because if we want to keep on getting these auditions and these parts, we got to stay looking good. Someone was like, you know, I told them, like, if I don't keep my fade fresh, these little grays start creeping in. And somebody was like, "You should embrace the grays. That'd be so hot." I'm like, okay, first of all, oh, yes, I know I would be a very hot, salt and peppered up older dude. Pero at the same time, dog, I'm still trying to do these auditions. You know what I'm saying? Like, where, like, Dante Bosco was playing high school kids when he was 30. You feel me? So it's like, I feel like I'm still kind of in that lane. Let me keep this shit looking kind of youthful still.
You know what's so annoying? This fool, he'll put on a beard filter, right? And you read the comments. They're like, "Ooh, daddy. Ooh, this guy looks so fucking good. I do a beard filter. It's like, you look like a North Korean prisoner."
Yo, not gonna lie, the beard filter brought on thirst in my comments that I haven't seen in years. And I'm like,
I thought it would do the same for me, and they just made fun of me.
Well, I gotta put you onto a different filter. Don't you choose the Instagram ones, because this one I use is kind of lit.
Oh.
But like, I put on that beard filter, I read the comments, and I was like, thank God I can't grow a beard for real, because the temptation that would be coming my way, even though I'm a married man, I'm like, yo, chill out, bro, because it was the thirst was there, and I'm like, wow, this. I was used to just getting, normally, like, for the past, like, fucking, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, whenever I got a comment that was thirsting after me, it was a dude, and I'm like, hey, that's great, I appreciate the love, that's wonderful, thank you for that, but yes, but this beard filter had girls thirsting in my comments. I was like, oh, wow.
See, for you, when you were telling that story about back in the day, you used to have this asshole thing where you would hook up with the girl, and afterwards you would probably not treat her the best. Yep. Different. If a girl had sex with me, I would sit there and pray to her. Like, she granted me a wish.
Thank you for this miracle from God.
I would start doing the Muay Thai. I would open up her vagina and just whisper, thank you.
You would light incense and just pluck it in there and pray.
Dear God, thank you for this meal. Thank you for blessing me with this taco. ¿Por qué no? Well, guys, that wraps up this episode.
That's a great place to end. Yeah. Oh, thank you for watching and listening, Dudes Behind the Foods. I'm Tim Chantharoxu.
And I'm Davis O.
Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, share if you liked it, and make sure you rate 5 stars and wherever you like to consume your podcast listening. Make sure you tune in next time. We're going to tell you how you can win a trip to the Bahamas for $599.99. Bye.
Yo, it's the dudes behind the food. Dudes behind the food. Yeah, it's the dudes behind the food.
That's actually really fucking good.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.